Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Regarding ID podcast. I'm Gina Jordan. More and more vehicles are connected to the internet. That leaves them vulnerable to the same problems as your laptop or any other connected device. We've learned that even your car can be hacked.
Lots of payment systems, highway tolls, automatic parking systems, all presume that the car is connected through Wi-Fi or cellular to these other applications that want to interact with it.
Paul Madsen is an Internet of Things security pundit who works as a principal architect in the CTO's office at Ping Identity. He's been studying some high-profile hacks.
Nissan Leaf is the most recent one. Fundamentally, the model Nissan implemented, the security model in quotes, for authenticating the API calls that their native app, you know, installed on iPhones and Androids, used to access the data of the Leaf, relied on a secret, quote unquote, that was never intended to be a secret. So cars have vehicle identification numbers, the VINs, that are visible through the windshield, right? These are things that were never intended to be a secret identifier for cars. By their nature, they're public. And Nissan relied on the vehicle VIN as something effectively like a password, the means by which owners would be able to authenticate to Nissan's APIs, their cloud, to be able to get at the data for their cars. So because they're public, because if I can gain access to your car, your Leaf specifically, I can copy that VIN down and then use it through a native app to effectively impersonate you and gain some control over the Leaf that I should never have. So that's ultimately an authentication problem, right? That anybody could authenticate as the valid Leaf owner and effectively claim that Leaf for their own purposes, hopefully not too evil. So a couple of months ago, the perhaps more widely broadcast attack or hack was that of the Chrysler Jeep, where some hacktivists, some researchers, were able to demonstrate that they could also gain control of a car, but arguably more worrying, gain control of the drive systems of the Jeep. While the car was driving, they were able to demonstrate that they had some level of control over brakes and steering, etc. The systems that have compromised are not just an annoyance or pose a financial risk, but you know, could pose a real threat to health and safety. It was a different sort of attack. The problem was ultimately based on the compromise of an entertainment system in the car. Radio stations, et cetera, are streamed to the car. In the Jeep, the issue was that entertainment system, once compromised, kind of enabled a domino effect whereby other systems, more critical systems in the car, could sort of be lined up and compromised as well. So it's a different sort of vulnerability than the Leaf.
Madsen says someone with ill will potentially has a lot of options for compromising a car, thanks to the electronic control units on board. But there are ways to protect motorists from these kinds of attacks.
Not surprisingly, I work for an identity company, so I would suggest that the ultimate way to address all of these attacks is one based on identity. The Chrysler Jeep hack demonstrated that it's not enough to prevent somebody getting in and then being given free will. We have to lock down the systems and isolate the systems within the car as well. And I think ultimately we can only do that in any sort of granular and scalable model with identity and recognizing that cars have identities, the systems within the cars, the different parts of the control systems, the ECUs, they all have identities and they all have relevant authorizations and rights appropriate to their functionality. And we can use those authorizations as a way of minimizing damage should any one of them be compromised.
Ultimately, Madsen says these modern vehicles are computers just like laptops and mobile phones. So all the vulnerabilities and risks we're accustomed to with computers are going to be true of connected cars.
So malware, vulnerabilities in the open source operating systems that lots of these cars use, compromised passwords, a real risk on the web we have, and by default, potentially an issue for connected cars as well. So all of the attacks we already know and have some sense of how to protect against are going to rear their heads for connected cars. I guess on the good side, we have a sense of how to guard against those attacks, for instance, in mobile platforms. Mobile platforms have a sandboxing model whereby I download an app and it's relatively isolated with respect to what it's allowed to do once installed in the OS. And even on installation, both Android and iOS and other mobile OSs give me, the user, the ability to constrain even further those privileges. So that consent step, I think, is critical for connected cars as well. Because if there's an app ecosystem that grows up around these cars, then we need the same sorts of protection for those car apps as we have for mobile apps. Related applications, the binaries that are installed into Android or iOS phones are all signed by the developer and effectively attested to as a valid app. And that's a key mechanism for differentiating between apps and spotting malware or apps trying to impersonate a valid app and so game the system.
Madsen thinks automakers have a responsibility to do a better job of isolating sensitive drive systems, like steering and braking, from the rest of the systems that a connection might leverage. He also wants to see assurance that the ecosystems car makers enable have adequate protections for the individual apps that are installed.
I think users, as we currently have a responsibility for the apps we download to our phones, connected car owners will have a responsibility as well. Eventually, the connected car systems will probably auto-updated as vulnerabilities are identified and patches are released. So we take that for granted with our mobile phones, right? We see apps updating themselves constantly, and there's a relatively frequent occurrence of seeing the OS itself update. And when that happens, we benefit because security patches are always part of those updates. So eventually that'll happen in connected cars. I think it has to happen for connected cars. But the current reality is we're probably not there yet. So any current owner of a connected car has a responsibility to protect themselves by ensuring that they're running the latest firmware and software. And that might mean going into the dealer where they purchased the car. Even more generally, we should all sort of do a risk-benefit analysis when we're turning on these systems and when we're enabling these apps. Ask ourselves, what are the risks, or have some sense of what are the risks versus the benefits, and be cautious as we enable these systems.
Madsen personally doesn't have to worry about all of this for now. His very unconnected minivan is more than a decade old. When he does get a connected car, he's in favor of a model where the different electronic systems have identities and where their interactions with each other can be authenticated. But it's not just the automakers that have work to do. He says auto owners should be protecting themselves.
Just ensure that they're running the latest version of firmware and software that will reflect the patches that the manufacturers have discovered. Car owners can also think twice about plugging in USB dongles into their computer system, right? That's a potential channel or vector by which malware might get distributed. Just ultimately be cautious and weigh the benefits of how you leverage the connectivity of these cars against what you gain. I think there's a continuum of risk from mere annoyance. At the other end are those attacks that could pose real risk to the life of the driver or their passengers. But in the middle, probably the most likely risk is financial, right? We're going to have credit card numbers potentially stored in the device used for paying for parking, in an automatic system. It'll be the financial risks that will attract hackers more so than mere annoyance or trying to kill someone. And, you know, sort of different but related are the privacy risks of, for instance, my driving patterns being identified, where I go at a particular time of day, the fact that all the cars in the house are out of the house. Maybe that's an invitation for burglars to come in.
Madsen points out that the car hacks we've seen in the news were conducted by researchers who are providing a valuable service by identifying these vulnerabilities.
As has been proven out, identity is critical for securing applications. It will be critical for securing not just connected cars, but every other connected device, whether we have it in the home or the enterprise.
Thanks to Paul Madsen with Ping Identity. And thank you for joining us for this edition of the Regarding ID podcast.